Hello.
My name's Fiona Porteous and I run Benchhead Produce. This is the chook paddock. We call it the commercial pen. Theoretically, I sell eggs every now and again if the chooks happen to lay enough. A lot of these are fairly superannuated and they just hang around creating compost for me instead. That was their main purpose, create compost, which would then give me soil to plant things into, specifically the native produce.
Tell me about native foods. When did you first get into this?
It's really hard to say. I'm an insane foodie. I've always liked food. And I became aware of it, I think, my 20s and the 90s thereabouts. And so it's basically because I couldn't find the ingredients that I, as an in foodie person, wanted to cook with, I figured I'd better grow the damn things myself because nobody else was. While I grow some things, and I'll show you some of those things, I've also started just concentrating on sourcing products from the local region. So, for example, I'm going up to Goulburn TAFE tomorrow. They've got saltbush growing. They use it to demonstrate pruning on, so they've said I can harvest from there. I go out to the coast near Narooma on the south coast to harvest lemon myrtle, aniseed myrtle, cinnamon myrtle, finger limes and a range of other things because they just won't grow here easily.
What did you decide to grow and I guess how were you able to work out what would grow here?
I read a lot of books and I looked for the cool climate plants. As I've gone on, I've also started looking at arid region plants because we are really very dry here.
You mentioned before that basically you did this because you wanted to eat and cook with natives. This is your kitchen garden?
This is my kitchen garden. It has both exotics and natives. I've trained myself to say exotics when other people might say normal plants because normality is simply a matter of familiarity. A lot of the greenery you see there, see the mounded up things? That's Warrigal greens. Mm. That's my pride and joy in that exasperated sort of a way when you've got a teenage child who just won't go away. It's a very amenable kind of ground cover. And if you don't want it, you just rip it up by the armful and feed it to the chooks.
And how do you use it in the kitchen?
Use it like any other green leafy plant, like a spinach. So frittata, bread rolls, spanakopita, just cooked as is with a nice dash of nutmeg and quite a lot of butter or olive oil, sprinkled with a bit of lemon myrtle, say a bit of aniseed myrtle. In the middle here, we've got some native mint. I actually planted native mint up next to the house. It's a true mint, again, Mentha australis, also known as river mint. There are, in fact, two or three native mint varieties. These ones were just some straggling bits that I stuck in the ground and figured because it's an ordinary mint, it will take. And as you can see, it has.
Does it taste different to regular mint? Are we going to try some?
Yep, we're going to nip off a bit because I've got plenty of it.
Thank you.
Have a smell. You don't need a lot of it, but yeah,
and
really
nice.
Would
you put that in tea?
That's a good idea. I haven't tried it in tea yet. I drink more coffee than I do tea. But yeah, no, actually it would make a lovely tea. I'd mix it with ordinary mint probably. I'd find this taste a little intense. Its native flavours in general tend to be more intense than the ones we're used to. And there's a range of reasons for that. The major one is they haven't been domesticated in any significant way. So plants create flavour as a defence mechanism, or an enticement mechanism. So come and pollinate me or don't eat me, I taste horrible. So wild plants, while they tend to be smaller, they also tend to be more intensely flavoured simply because they need that active defence mechanism.
That's so bad than chewing gum.
It'd make a great toothpaste, actually.
That's delicious. Have you managed to tap into or contact any Indigenous people sort of in the region and get advice from them? Or is most of the stuff you've been able to do is by books or online? Or
that treads on the major issue we've got here, which is I am not an Indigenous person. I don't make any pretense to be. I don't talk about cultural knowledge. I am purely looking at this from a food point of view because I think it's important that we grow what grows here. Anytime I talk to people about this, ask them every time, I'm doing this, is this all right? And every time the answer comes back, talk to us, acknowledge us, and go for it. This is my saltbush patch. You can eat it raw. It's a dusty, bitter flavour. It is palatable raw, but it's better dried or, say, deep fried. Kylie Kwong uses it a lot. Mm. She's very fond of it. She tends to deep fry it and use it as a seasoning on top of dishes. So this is old man saltbush. I would like to see every farmer in the region putting in old man saltbush because it's palatable to stock. It's an arid region plant, but also, I mean, it grows when nothing else grows. I've got two, I call them forest berry herb, also known as strawberry gum trees, Eucalyptus oleata. these are not a backyard tree. These are a bog standard eucalyptus. They get quite tall. One I over-harvested accidentally. I'd been asked for 3 kilos of dried leaf to put into the local summer gin, of which I'm inordinately proud. Unfortunately, the rains I expected didn't come and the poor tree died. If we'd got rain, it would have been fine. They actually coppice perfectly well.
But it sacrificed itself for a beautiful gin.
It did indeed.
I can't think what this smell is like.
That's why I like forest berry herb rather than strawberry gum.
Oh, delicious.
It is.
So something hidden under the net here. Now, what's that?
This appleberry.
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 Oh,
they've got little apple dumplings and they're fruiting right now. There you go.
So you eat that like that? Is that ready to eat?
Just like that. It's delicious. It tastes like stewed apple with cinnamon.
Oh my goodness.
They're delicious.
They are delicious.
The chuffs and their parrots were getting into it. Are you freezing?
No. I've been warmer.
Yeah. So this is a native garden.
Yeah, wow. This is like a little native orchard.
Yeah, it's a bit ratty now, but mostly because I've only just moved the ducks out, but they've produced actual soil. And now that we've had rain, this is going to be planted out with a lot of mint bush, a lot of salt bush. I'll let the Warrigal greens take over in here because they're a superb ground cover and they'll just protect the soil until I'm ready to put some more stuff in it. So now that there's only the guinea fowl hanging around in here, yeah, I'm going to be able to put a lot in.
Hello, guinea fowl.
How is your guinea fowl? There's a Warrigal green frittata with your name on it inside. I'll go boil the jug.
Oh, great.
Do you need a jug just to quickly warm up?
Oh, no, I'm all good. I'll have a cup of coffee and I'll be fine. So what are you doing there?
I'm just grinding a little quantity of the roasted wattle seed.
So this is the best part of growing your own things. Can you tell me what little feast we've got here? What are you doing? What's okay. In the plunger?
Currently, I am plunging a coffee, a hot drink made from a mix of dried and roasted and ground wattle seed, Acacia Victoriae specifically, and some coffee mixed in. Wattle seed on its own makes a lovely hot drink, but some of us are caffeine addicts and some of us need the actual caffeine. Wattle seed has no caffeine. It's a brilliant hot drink, not a substitute for coffee, but rich and round in its own right. And anybody looking for a hot caffeine-free drink, thoroughly recommended.
That coffee, it was almost like it was peppery.
It's the wattle seed.
Yeah, that is delicious.
Literally just a combination of a locally ground coffee and wattle seed.
So you just free pour each time and try and work out exactly what your mix should be?
Yeah. I made that one up again. I generally go for about a 60-40 mix simply because, as I say, I want to taste that coffee. But I actually think that one might have been closer to about 2/3 wattle and 1/3 coffee.
Absolutely delicious. To go with our coffee is what looks like some delicious biscuits.
We have cookies, which are actually got native flavours in them. The mixes are made by another Canberra business, Cookie Joy to the World. So we have a pepperberry choc chip cookie. Pepperberry, aromatic, fragrant, berry-like. It's hot. You use it in savoury dishes. It is amazing with chocolate. The pepperberry actually adds its own flavour and scent. It's absolutely delicious. We also have a white chocolate and cranberry biscuit, which has forest berry herb in it, dried and ground. But the forest berry adds this wonderful aromatic flavour and scent. It also makes for a soft, chewy cookie.
This looks absolutely delicious.
Beautiful pale green, Warrigal green bread rolls. Almost fresh out of the oven about an hour ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I have really good timing, don't I? Can I have a little taste?
Yeah, the Warrigal just adds an interesting texture. It adds sweetness. It's really bizarre. I can guarantee there is no sugar in that. I made this recipe 4 times until I was convinced that the sweetness is the Warrigal greens themselves. You wouldn't have thought it. They're spinach. Kids love it.
That's absolutely delicious. Oh, hey, wait, there's more.
This is a Warrigal green frittata.
So this is from your chooks in the backyard?
Yep.
And some Warrigal greens.
Yep, and some cheese.
That's delicious.
And a salt mix that I make because you've always got to have a bit of extra salt. So there's a bit of extra pepper leaf in this, a bit of salt bush, lemon myrtle and aniseed myrtle.
Mm. How labour-intensive or how time-consuming is that when you're making up your own salt mixes?
It's pretty labour-intensive. It always takes much longer than I expect to do things. With everything, I'm trying to harvest where I can from the beginning. then with the leaves, I leave them on the stem, let them dry, strip them off, then grind them and then make them into the mixes. So, and then make them up into little packets. So we're talking a good 2 or 3 days, more or less, if you're looking at sort of beginning to end.
What are some good starting points, either resources or recipes?
The SBS website has a very good native food section these days. I think partly it's because Carly Kwong contributes to it. Australian native produce lend themselves to substitutions. That's partly what I'm doing with my little market stalls and the things I cook. I make up the salt mixes and sugar mixes as well as the pure flavours, and just tell people, rather than using plain salt, use this pepper salt instead and put it on your potatoes. And that's an introduction to mountain pepper and how it works when it's cooked, when it's fresh, how it's got the slow burn. Warrigal greens are very, very accessible because you literally treat them like spinach, one-to-one. The only difference is you've got to blanch them.
You mentioned before gin. Are they one of the local businesses that you are tapping into? Because we've had a real surge in making beers and gins and spirits in this region.
Yeah. The Canberra Distillery approached me a couple, 2-3 years ago now, and asked for forestberry herb. This was via a local market. It's now unfortunately no longer going, but we were all at it, and people were coming around and having a sniff and scrunch and sniff and tasting the flavours. Gin makers in particular were really interested by the flavours. So the Canberra Distillery approached me and said, I need 3 kilos of forestberry herbs, and that goes into the making of their summer gin. I've now decided, however, I'm trying to taste every gin in Australia with Australian natives in them. Turns out this is going to be really difficult because 2/3 of them now use native produce in them. But there's at least 2 or 3 in Canberra.
What about local chefs?
I'm not supplying into restaurants at the moment, partly because in order to do that, you've got to be reliable. Native supplies can be highly variable. I don't want to set up an expectation that I can't then supply. So I'm trying to establish and confirm supply. Seasonal is fine, but if I say I can supply 6 kilos of Warrigal greens next week, I'd better be able to supply and continue to supply it.
I think we've smelt this food for long enough. Let's get into it.
Oh, smell that.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.